All right, welcome back. Frank and Hobbo here, show one of season seven. We thank Antonio Rice for joining us for a few minutes, and we should have Frank Quayle on the line here momentarily to give us his quick capsule summary of what he expects out of the Hoos in 2015 with the big one on Saturday, 3:30 Eastern out at the Rose Bowl, and this is Virginia's first trip ever to the Rose Bowl in Pasadena.
And only the second time we've ever gone out and played on the left coast. We played Southern Cal a few years ago when the Wahoos traveled out there and played quite well. And if the referees hadn't called back that fake punt that Virginia executed perfectly.
That was, what, the 17-14 game?
Yeah, Virginia was all over them like a cheap suit.
So, yeah, well.
By the way, those referees got suspended.
Well. We don't want to get into refs on the first show here.
No,
we got a whole season to talk about refs. You know,
that was
you know, the Zebras. We love the Zebras.
Number of years ago, but let's get on to Frank Quayle.
Yeah, Frank will be with us here. We haven't been able to track him down just yet. But yeah, big one against UCLA. I look back at that game last year, Virginia. In many ways, outplayed UCLA in Charlottesville.
Virginia did not give up a sack, but they sacked Brett Huntley seven times. And if not for those two of the turnovers were freaks. Virginia threw a nice, Lambert threw a nice pass to Kyle Dawkins, who made a good football move upfield and was breaking towards the end zone when he got tripped. And as he was going down, the ball came out of his hands. And you got to give the credit to the safety. He picked it up alertly and just started running, and everybody on the field was frozen. They thought Dawkins was down, but Dawkins was not down.
Well, I just remember in the media room at halftime of that game, people were just kind of walking around dazed because I don't think anybody had ever seen that before, where you get three defensive scores not only in a game but in a quarter.
But on the flip side, an interesting thing was the fact that quarterback Matt Johns, who is now the starter for the Wahoos, he came into the game in relief and played beautifully and made the game close. And, you know, Jim Mora was talking about him today in his interview across the nation on the Jay Mora Sports Show. Clearly, Mora has not forgotten Matt Johns. And thankfully, we have Frank Quayle joining us. Frank, you there?
I am. How are you, Jim and Frank?
We're delighted to have you, and we're feeling good. We're the first show, new season, season number seven for Who's Talking, and we're thrilled that you're with us.
Well, thank you.
Well, you know, we talked a few moments ago, Frank, with a friend of yours, Antonio Rice, who was also a running back, and he spoke, and everybody's talking about the offensive line and how good they are. As a former running back, you got to feel pretty good about Virginia's offensive line.
Yeah, you know, it sounds to me that they have got the best offensive line they've had in a couple of years. You know, it remains to be seen. They're young, and they've supposedly been working hard as a unit. It's something that is kind of switching gears on you, but we were down in Hilton Head last week and spent a lot of time around Georgia fans, and Grayson Lambert's in the hunt to be their starting quarterback, and they're all excited about him. And it made me think, you know, he didn't show us too much, but, you know, if you don't have an offensive line, you're not going to look very good. And if you do have an offensive line, you know, they're going to help you look good. So perhaps that's been the issue, in that we had some good quarterbacks, but we didn't have a line to give them the time they needed or to be able to establish a run, which would make the passing game work so much better.
Well, speaking of that offensive line, although Coach Mike Lennon has not announced, my sources that follow the team closely and provide intel off the air, it appears that Mike Mooney, number 76, will start at left tackle. Jack English from Richmond, St. Christopher's, is his backup. Left guard is Ryan Dahl, D-O-U-L-L. The center will be Jackson Mateo. 6'5", 290. He's a healthy young man. Ross Burbank is the leader. He's a senior, number 65, 6'4", 300. And at right tackle, Eric Smith, who's got 20 starts, I think, number 72, and he's 6'5", 305. He's your right tackle. And to round out the report, Evan Butts, who's 6'4", 240, is going to play some at tight end, as will Charlie Hopkins, who's the Stanford transfer, 6'6", 255.
Yeah. So, but, you know, in college football, and I think in even Division II, there's very few offensive linemen who aren't 6'4". Or high or taller.
Yep.
And they're all in that 280 to, you know, 315 range. So that alone doesn't make me say, we've got something. And last year we had guys who all had that height and weight. But are they going to be able to work as a team? Are they going to be able to explode off the ball? You know, these are things that.
Based on what you saw last year, what do you expect out of Matt Johns this year?
Well, it's interesting. I'm going to take. Gene Arnett, who's a good buddy of mine, was our quarterback when I was playing.
Yeah, we know Gene well.
Yeah, he was a wonderful quarterback. 2 years ago, he tells me that he goes to the practices a bunch of times, and he says, you know, I think the best quarterback out there is this Matt Johns youngster. and I didn't pay much credence to it, and he also made a comment that I thought was interesting. He said, you know, they're going out of that shotgun formation, but for a quarterback, getting under the center, and then when you get the ball in your hands, you turn your back to the defense, that just creates havoc for those linebackers as to what you're going to do. Where if you just snap the ball back to somebody, they've got their eyes exactly on the ball the entire time, who's going to carry it and whatnot. So he thought two things. He thought you got to get Matt Johns in the game, and you got to get underneath the center on the snaps. And those are two things we're going to see this year.
Speaking of weapons and what's going to happen with the Virginia offense, by all accounts, all the coaches, all the players, they are all saying the same thing. Smoke Mizell is ready to go. He's finally gotten 100% healthy. He's been lifting his weights. He's everything is squared away with his schoolwork. They say he knows all his assignments on blitzes and that he's running downhill now and he's not looking to make a move before he spots the hole.
Well, I love to hear it, and I hope it proves to be correct. And certainly what we were talking about, the offensive line helping the quarterback, I can tell you from firsthand experience, if you don't have an offensive line, you're not going to be getting many yards. We had a wonderful running back a year ago, but he – you know, average maybe 3.2 yards a carry, and Virginia was 11th in rushing. So Smoke is going to be an improved player if that offensive line is improved. The one thing that I've been a little critical of him, he just doesn't seem to have that natural run-to-daylight sense. And that's something I don't know if you can – coach it. I think it's you're born with it, and I haven't seen it, but you know, certainly hope it he develops and he's the running back that we all thought he could be when he arrived at Virginia as a five-star.
Frank, as you know, expectations are not as high as we would like them to be. So I guess my thinking is, or I was just going to ask you, what are two or three things that have to happen this year for the football team to exceed expectations?
Well, you know, talking specifically about the players, that they have to have an offensive line that is dramatically improved, and they got to be able to establish a running game. Last year, they were just so predictable as to what they were going to do, and I don't think it was Fairchild's poor play calling, but they wanted to be able to establish the run. They wanted to be able to keep the ball for a while, but they. You know, they were averaging 3 yards a carry, and so it wasn't working for them. So, you know, they've got to have that offensive line, and they've got to put points on the board this year. I'm sure the schedule, you know, I was thinking about it, that there's other than three teams in the ACC, and that would be Clemson, Florida State, and Georgia Tech, I think at least 80% of the other teams would have a 1-3 record coming out of Virginia's first four opponents' games on it. And after those first four games, they go into the three games that probably are their best shots to win ACC games, Pittsburgh, Syracuse, and UNC. And So the big question to me is how beaten up they're going to be coming away from playing the talented teams they'll be playing, and how mentally will they be upbeat and thinking, hey, you know, we've got something here, or will they be beaten down by disappointing experiences in those first four games?
Frank Quayle on the line with us tonight. Frank, in your time as the color analyst for Wahoo Radio, do you remember a schedule quite like this?
I don't. Yeah, I mean, nowhere close to this. Now, the last couple of years, Coach London has had a tough schedule, but prior to that, you know, the UVA did what all the other schools do, is which make sure you have two or three teams there that you're going to be able to be the better team. You can have an off day and still win the game. And that's what you think you need in those first couple of games to, you know, play the game well. And so to me, it's been just crazy, the schedule they've
had. Clemson, Clemson's really good. They opened with Wofford and Appalachian State. We opened with UCLA and Notre Dame. There's something not fair about this. Frank, 29 seasons in the booth. Do you miss doing the games on the radio?
Asking the tough questions. You know, it wasn't a whole lot of fun when they're getting beat on a regular basis. I treasured the last year I did, in that they had a surprisingly but very good season, and it was the first time any team had beaten the two Florida schools, Florida State and Miami, at their homes, and got to go to the Peach Bowl. So, and you know, I had thought I had hung up the microphone the year before, and events just unfolded that they asked if I'd come back for one more year, and I did it, and I was thrilled that I did it, but I haven't regretted too much being away from the game.
Frank, we got a hard break coming up. We really appreciate you joining us. We'll have you back soon.
Okay, good talking to you guys.
Thank you, Frank. All right, on the other side, we're going to have Coach Brian O'Connor and then Jody Smith. Stay with us.